I think
Hello and welcome back.
Thanks for joining us for another episode.
I am Malcolm Childs.
And I am James Skiffins, and we are Just Making Conversation.
This is Season 2, where we discuss the ins and outs of the model-making hobby that brings us joy and pain in equal measure.
From the greasy sprues and the gloss coats, and everything in between, we are going to be Just Making Conversation. Remember, there are other podcasts you can listen to.
Plastic Model Mojo.
The Scowl Model Podcast.
Plastic Posse Podcast.
On the Bench.
Model Geeks.
The Sprue Cutters Union.
Small Subjects.
Head to modelpodcast.com for all the links.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, consider leaving a review, as it promotes this podcast to more people to enjoy.
Showing your support to us is easy as making a cup of coffee. In fact, why not go over to buymeacoffee.com/JMC podcast and do just that. Your support will help go towards making the podcast and its content just a little bit better. In this episode, we'll just be making conversation about modelling electricery. Does it make your model look more real, or is it just faff?
Electricery brings another level or dimension to your model. With flashing LEDs or even a motor to drive those otherwise static propellers, maybe even adding the real sound of those beloved engines.
But why does your model really need this extra time and effort? Does the add-in of electricery just make your model look more like a toy? When do these additions just become a step too far?
You know, when you go to Toys R Us or you go to a toy shop and you're hanging around the toys section, yeah?
Oh, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, when I'm hanging around the toy section, looking at all the toys, can you imagine a fire engine, like a big fire engine with all the bells and whistles? You've got a load of buttons on the top, you press them and then the siren goes off, you press another one and then the lights flash, you press another one and the back opens and a hose pops out, you press another button and the wheels go round and you hear the honk noise and all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine one of them?
I can't imagine it because that's why I'm not allowed in the local toy shop anymore. Is because when I go down that aisle, I press every button.
Well, yeah.
So every toy's going as I walk down the corridor. So I'm not allowed to go in there anymore because of the battery wastage. Apparently,
try me. I'm gonna have to
because you've got the Nino, Nino, Nino now. Oh, give me a hug from the bears and all that sort of stuff. If it's got a button, I've got to press it.
I don't blame you. Well, it's not an issue. Surely that's why they put the thing on the toy, so you can press the button.
Not for a 50-year-old, apparently. Children is fine, but not for a 50-year-old.
Well, you're the one buying them.
The worst part was as I was running down the other corridor with my machine gun going, ding, 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 everybody.
Have you seen that video of the guy with the, you know, those rubber chickens that you can squeeze and they go, have you seen those?
A pet store where you go and you squeeze all the toys and they go, whee!
No. It's a big rubber chicken. You squeeze it and it goes, ha-ha! It's like a really weird, horrible noise. Do you know what I mean?
No, I've never seen I've never squeezed a chicken and had it go, ha-ha!
No, it doesn't say, it's ha-ha. It says,
that'd be great though, wouldn't it? You press the chicken and it goes, ahar, like a pirate. Ahar, used to be a parrot, you know.
Rubber parrots. Okay, so imagine a big basket, a massive, massive, massive basket in a shop full of squeaky toys that when you squeeze them, they take about 30 seconds to get back to normal. But in that 30 seconds, they're going, like that, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine a massive basket of them, someone pressing all of them by squishing your whole entire body weight onto the top. And then lifting yourself up and running off. Have you seen that video?
No, I've not.
It's very funny. I shall share it with you. What was I talking about? fire engines, pressing the buttons, lights go off. You're not allowed in there because you press all the buttons. I think you should be allowed in there because you should press the buttons because it says try me. That's literally what they want you to do. Squeeze a paw, press a belly, press the button on the vehicle so the lights go off. Anyway. How I feel about lighting your model is pretty much the same feeling I get when I press one of those buttons on a fire engine. I go, ooh, pretty lights. I like pretty lights. And that's it. I don't have any more interest in it. And I think it can look tacky for me if there are lights on it. Now, I can caveat that by some lights, seen on an aircraft, for instance, have a sequence. So top light flashes, bottom one flashes, two side ones stay on. And there's a sequence for these strobes on some aircraft, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you can get cards that you can program them so they flash in the correct way, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I like that idea. It's quite clever. You put it all in, wire it into your whatever, and it flashes in the same way. But that's all. You know, it just looks like it's sat there flashing. Then there's nothing else. You know, it doesn't, don't know what it adds to the model. But if it's an afterburner, right? Mm-hmm. Someone puts a light in an afterburner so that the light is coming out the back, you know, the back end. Mm-hmm. That can look quite good, I think, especially if it's in flight, the light's coming out the back. I don't like it when they flicker, though. If it's a static thing, they wouldn't flicker, so they certainly wouldn't flash.
I understand what you're saying, and yeah, I sort of feel the same, is that when you're looking at a static model and you've got movement from the lights, it's no longer a static model.
Yeah.
It looks odd.
Yeah, it should be moving.
But yeah. If you've got an aircraft that's in flight with its afterburners fully burning and it's a solid light, solid flame, mm-hmm. as it would be, but then you've got strobe lights flashing, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I can understand why people do it. You know, it's a bit of interest, you know, bring people to your model table at a show. Ooh, flashing lights, let's go over there. Like some sort of modelling mosquitoes.
Yeah, well, funny enough, it's something in which I've only done a little bit of electricery in my journey so far.
So tell us about that.
So one of the things I did was I built a piece that was to depict a battle scene in Stalingrad. It was a corner building, soldiers fighting at hands, or yeah, whatever phrase you would use.
Hand-to-hand combat.
Thank you. Part of that was in the doorway of the building was an explosion, so that someone had maybe thrown a hand grenade in or a shell had come in or whatever. But within the dust cloud were two figures that were obviously affected by the blast. And within that, I put some electricity in to try and enhance the explosion so it looked like an explosion. Rather than using paint, which you could do fairly easily, but I opted for the easy option of putting some lights in. Mm-hmm. So I put a couple of different lights in. I put a red light in, an orange light in, and a bit mm-hmm. of white. So it was three bulbs and all. Mm-hmm. And it looked very good. But the one thing in which I wish I hadn't have done was put one of the lights so it flickered.
Gotcha.
Because it didn't need it. By doing the flickering, I think it detracted against the effect I was trying to get.
It was depicting the passing of time, isn't it, by flickering?
Yes, you're suddenly adding movement into a static figure, which doesn't really work in that scenario. That'll be the next thing I change, will be that I won't put flickering lights in unless there's something else moving.
Got you.
Which means motors and all sorts of things. Even if you were clever enough and put some motors in so that the figures moved in an outward fashion, they'd have to move back so they could go back out again. So it'd look a bit odd.
It would, yeah. Yeah,
I think electronics in models have got a place, definitely. But I think where we need to think about sometimes is what we're actually trying to achieve. So, for example, a different version of that, which I think does work and works very well, is having a static aircraft that has a sequence, for example, on let's say a Lancaster has a sequence of its engines starting up.
Yeah.
So one engine starts, the second engine, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you can get a soundboard that goes along with that so that you not only see the engines going, but it disguises the whirring noise of the little motors because they do make a bit of a whine. But you can disguise that with the sound of the engine starting up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think that's clever. I think that's very clever, very effective, looks really good. And even to the point where I have seen it as well, where there's some lightage as well, and they come on, then the engines start, then the engines turn off, then the lights go off.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's necessary, the lights, personally, but it does give you the ability to then see inside the cockpit, etc., and what's going on inside the aircraft, maybe.
Well, that was another point. That was another caveat I was going to make. When you're using lighting to enhance your vision of the model, say like you had a street light in, you know, in your diorama, and that was literally lighting up your diorama itself. I like that. That works for me. Lighting a cockpit, lighting the lights inside a building, that works for me. I think it's Dave Oliver did a welding torch on the side of a tank, and it was a little tiny LED just on, just the light of that was coming out, and I thought that worked really well.
Again, the welder would be static because he's welding. And he's
not flickering, he's not flashing.
He's just continually welding. I mean, even if it flashes, it's not a problem because the welder's got to stand still to make sure that welds correct.
Well, yeah, it's got to be a good weld, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be a really great weld because it's going to be on for like 9 hours and he's not going to move.
Well, see, if it was flickering, I don't think it would work because, again, it shows the passage of time. So you don't want to do that. You want to be paused. No, but the difference is with your Lancaster, you're moving those propellers and giving it the sound and giving it the lights, and that is the whole point. That is all your buttons on your fire engine you're pressing, you know? And if it's all done as a package, I think that would work.
I disagree with you because, especially with a welding effect, I think it works. If you stood there for 8 hours and went, well, I think he's finished that weld, he must have finished it by now, surely. But I need my lunch.
You're saying that your flickering explosion doesn't work because it's a moment in time. The welder has to be relatively static.
The subject needs to be static because, for an example, the USS Enterprise spaceship, if you see one of those on a stand with all its lights flickering and flashing,
flishing.
There's lots of flishing involved with flashing.
Flickering and flashing is flishing. So you've invented an entirely new word. You heard it first.
When you're thinking about a vehicle in space, there is nothing around it most of the time that gives you the sense of journey, of movement.
Yeah, gotcha.
Unless it's doing warp speed and then all the stars are going really, really quickly. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
And it all comes down to the way we've trained our brains over time through experience and stuff. But none of us have been into space unless we've got an astronaut listening, which I doubt. I don't think there's any astronauts in Malta. There might be. Let me know.
There must be. There must be.
Could be.
Oh, yeah. They have a much of a budget in the government for astronautics and aeronautics. I'm sure they do. They have airplanes in Malta. Let us know.
Let us know, yes. God, wouldn't that be fun if we do get a listener go, I am an astronaut and I live in Malta.
We do have a space program.
But yeah, in that moment, because of what we've learned from Captain Kirk, if you then take those flashing lights off that and put it onto a tornado, for example, with a lovely Coastal Kits background of a movement, it still doesn't work because the background isn't moving.
Immersion, I guess. The passage of time doesn't work.
It actually detracts because it makes you know that you're looking at a model. Whereas if the background was moving and it was flashing lights, you suddenly wouldn't have an issue with that.
Well, on a conveyor belt?
Yeah, you can get them.
No, I haven't seen one in a model show, though.
Well, it wouldn't be a conveyor belt. It'd probably be an iPad with a moving background.
That would be really fun, though.
But like I say, with the spacecraft, we don't have any background knowledge to reinforce that. Or to stop us from being immersed into that image.
There's no moving parts, are there, on the outside of a spaceship? Hang on, no, there are, because doesn't the engine spin round on Star Trek?
Well, now, you're talking about the nacelles.
I don't know that. Am I?
So you're talking about the engine. Yeah, he's looking at me completely blank. What on earth are you talking about? So, yeah, so the nacelles.
Are you telling me you know what they are called and you don't like sci-fi? I don't even know what they're called, and I like sci-fi.
Hey, I know you put water with Perno, but that doesn't mean I like Perno.
Tell me about these nacelles, James.
Anyway, they also have a programmable chip that will allow you to have lights making a circular motion to give you movement. They don't affect me too much because it's in space and there isn't, you know, trees going past, you can get away with it. If you're a space modeler and you've taken the time and trouble to put your flashy lights in, why wouldn't you want your nacelles to go around?
What's that quote from Jurassic Park that the character played by Jeff Goldblum says that would be relevant here?
Run? Is that a quote you mean?
No, not that one. No, he says, you spend so much time thinking about whether you can do it, you don't think about whether you should do it.
Yes.
That's a complete bastardization of the quote.
It is.
I apologise. Are we talking about that? Are we talking about sticking the lights in because I can? Because I can make it flashy? Or are we talking about adding stuff to a model that doesn't particularly need it, doesn't add to the experience of seeing the model? Or are we talking about something that can add to the model and your immersion into it, and it makes it look more real?
To answer your question, sort of, because part of electronics, the joy of electronics is, like many parts and facets of the hobby, is it's a rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So as soon as you go down that rabbit hole, you just go carry on down that rabbit hole and don't got your blinkers on. Mm-hmm. And I think where some models fail, if that's the right word, that someone has gone to the effort to do something and gone, I can do this because I can, mm-hmm. and because I want it to be as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They know, for example, it's got flashy strobe lights. They know that the afterburners should burn when doing Mac whatever. If they do a right-hand turn, a handbrake right-hand turn, then they're going to have a bit of smoke, etc. Do you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, you've got an image of something you've seen, which generally won't be a static image. It will be a moving image,
yeah,
because it's a memory.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to recreate that moving image as best you can with the subjects you're modelling.
Yeah.
But you lose the thought process of transferal of a moving image to a static image. Suddenly it's confused because mm-hmm. you've stuck a smoke gun in it and, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Everything has to be moving or nothing has to be moving. That's the way I think about it.
Depend on the subject, yes. But like I say, there are some subjects, like, for example, the Enterprise. I think you can get away with strobe lights on the Enterprise quite easily.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does work on spacecraft. That's the look of spacecraft, isn't it? They have a lot of flashy lights and lights here and there and everything. That's fine. That works for me. I'll allow it.
I mean, it's an interesting part of the hobby, without a doubt. The ability to find the right way of running your wires through your model, and at what point you decide that, I've got no idea because I haven't done that on a model itself.
I've never ever done it, and I don't know if I ever would.
Funny enough, I do want to do a model that has a moving engine, i.e. propeller, not the actual engine, because that would be amazing if I could get the whole thing to, like, the pistons to move. And
could you imagine? Yeah.
148 fully working engine. I just have to top up with some petrol here and there. Yeah, I do want to do that. And one of the places in which I've seen at Telford, etc., was a guy in, I think he was based in Europe somewhere. He has some amazing kits that has the sound card, has the propellers and all that exciting stuff.
Yes, there are companies that will do that for you, aren't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can program themselves if you know about cross switches or what they're called, dip switches on your boards. I mean, I know nothing about electronics as well. I know absolutely nothing. I don't know my full bridge rectifier from my capacitor.
No, I'm the same. I don't have any understanding of it at all.
I have bought myself a little electronic trickery kit completely without researching it at all to intend to put some lights in a diorama that I'm thinking about.
Ooh.
that would be just lights to light up the scene itself, because it's going to have an interior and I need some lights in there. But so I bought some LEDs, I bought some battery boxes and some wire and stuff, and it just came, and to me it just felt like, oh, I wasted my money, because it just came in bits, you know, LED with two wires on it, one's long, one's short, one's positive, one's negative. And it came with some battery boxes with the switches on it and wires. And now I have to buy a soldering iron.
Yeah.
But what I wanted was just a blooming battery, a battery pack attached to a bloody three or four LEDs. And that's all I wanted. And I... What is that? What is that?
That's brilliant.
Is that an alarm?
No, it's just my iPhone telling me I need to do an update. Sorry about that.
Bloody electronics.
Let's put you off, sorry.
No, it's fine. I haven't been put off. That's all I wanted. And I'm sure if I went to the right place and I just researched it, I could find a little box that did exactly what I wanted. But yeah, it wasn't as easy as I thought it was, unfortunately. And it kind of pisses me off that I got it wrong. So that's probably why I don't like electronics, because of that one thing. But yeah, I do plan to put some electronics in the build in the future. Just a light, you know. And if you know about your electronics, you'd probably be laughing your ass off, because, you know, it's a battery plugged into a light, you know, get over it. But I just don't know how it works. If someone wants to teach me, I'm quite happy.
There is a lot of YouTube videos to explain how to do it.
Yes, but they don't explain it from the very start. You know, they go, okay, here we go. We're going to have a 9-volt battery, we're going to have a 3-watt amp, and we're going to have a capacitor that's only 18 watts and one flipper watt. And make sure your wires are the right color and consistency. And, oh, don't buy these ones. And they go, well, hang on, can we go back again? Can we start with what a bulb is, please?
JS Miniatures. So you can find her on Facebook.
Okay.
She does have a website as well. The website is smallscalelights.co.uk.
How do you know this lady?
She was the person I turned to when I wanted to put some electricity into my diorama.
Uh-huh.
And I was recommended it by somebody. And I literally sent her a personal message through Facebook saying, I've got this really crazy idea. I want to do this. Can you supply the parts I need, and what do I need to do? So the problem is, when you explain to someone, I want to make an explosion, then...
So you called her up out of the blue and said to her,
hi, I want to make an explosion. Can you help me?
And she could have just called the police immediately, but instead
yes. She probably, in a way, she probably did.
Okay.
But she's somebody who puts together the packages you need to do your lighting necessities on a model.
Okay.
So she'll do anything from a light in the end of a gun for Warhammer figure, for example. But she does something like that, but then she'll also do the kit that you need for lighting up a Star Trek Enterprise or the big warship in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, the big warship in Star Wars.
So anything like that. And the site's really, really good in that if you go on the website, which I am just about to click, oh, would you believe that? I've just noticed one of the videos I did of that said model that is on a Facebook page.
Uh-huh. Well done.
And it's actually a video that I sent her. But anyway. Gotcha.
Are we sponsored by them now? Gosh.
No. So yeah, if you go on to the smallscalelights.co.uk, mm-hmm. there will be a part there where it says lighting kits.
Okay.
So she's got lighting kits for buildings, she's got lighting kits for dolls' houses, lighting effects, motion effects, etc., etc.
Okay.
And she'll sort out all the pre-program card for you and all that. So yeah, you still need to figure out how it's going to go in your model.
Hmm.
But the hard work, if you like, she will sort out for you.
Okay.
And if you've got any queries, she's someone that will spend time and explain.
Okay, cool.
To even the most silliest of people like myself how to do it.
And if you can do it, so can I. I remember being at Telford, Scale Model World, and one of the chaps I was with there, Dave, he kept having a run to the competition and back again because he had a light in his diorama. I think it was a bright green light to show radiation.
All right, yeah.
He wasn't completely confident about his electronic prowess, so he was worried that the whole thing was going to overheat. So he wanted to go and check that it wasn't on fire. Which I don't know if that would add to the model. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before to give it an extra edge by just setting it alight. So he was worried about it. It made a massive difference to it. When you turned the lights down and photographed it, it looked fantastic because the green light really worked as a radiation source.
Yeah. This is the other thing in which you've got to take into account as well. One of the other failures of the Stalingrad build, because that went into a competition, on my bench in my room, the lights looked really bright. When I took it into a great big hall, you could hardly see them. Hmm. And again, the flashing effect was the only reason you knew there were lights there because it flashed.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Like, consider the lighting in a hall is different to what is in your room, especially if it's going to be judged and stuff. Yeah. What could you do about that? Could you go back to Jennifer and say, look, I'm just not bright enough?
I think, to be honest, the two things I learned from it was the power that was used wasn't enough. The area in which the smoke was coming out didn't have a back to it. So it had a light source from the back as well, i.e. like daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have affected its ability to shine through as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
If I'd enclosed it and put the lights into, like, I don't know, like a little Kinder Egg or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Black the Kinder Egg out, the light source from the LEDs could only go one way. That would have helped. If I'd made it so the Kinder Egg was reflective inside, that would have elevated the amount of light being produced. The other way in which I found out later was that if I'd put very small pieces of acetate, coloured acetate, inside the smoke, that would have also given a reflection, but also it emphasised the colour.
Okay. I quite like it when you see those smoke explosions. They do look quite nice. Bjorn Jakobsen?
Yes.
Does a lot of them. He did a Churchill flamethrower, which is called a crocodile, isn't it?
Yeah, it's correct.
Yeah. See, look at me. I'm learning. And he did a flamethrower thing, and he just had like a strip of LEDs to represent the flamethrower wrapped in possibly cotton wool. It looked great. It looked absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of ingeniousness is quite fun to see.
Mm.
He could have made it so that the LEDs kind of traced, so it looked like the flames were coming out. But of course, then the cotton wool would have to move as well, so that wouldn't work.
The best movement diorama I've seen with lighting, he did a Vietnam diorama, very famous, with an airplane dropping napalm. That one is just amazing because not only has it got the explosion of the napalm, but it's also got bits coming off to give the movement. Yeah, I think that's probably the one that I've seen is that it's the best lit diorama.
I've got his book right here.
Oh, look at you.
Because he actually donated a couple of books. So I know exactly which one you mean. And it's that one at the bottom of the page.
It is indeed, yeah.
So you can get this book, A Tutorial for Making Military Dioramas and Models by Bjorn Jakobsen, Jakobsen.
Does he explain that in the book, how he done them? I assume he does.
He sure does. The one that I particularly like and inspired a build of my own was a downed B-17.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with electronics, but the way that he added the interior parts of the wing, the struts and the flapping metal bits, looked fantastic using a Coke can. But yeah, in the book, he talks about how he puts the electronics in while I frantically flick through the book to try and show you an example of how he does it. So there you go. Rocket with a lot of wires hanging out of it.
Yeah.
And it turns into rocket taking off and flying through the sky. So it's all here.
That's definitely a book I want to get my hands on, I think, because I enjoyed doing it and I really like the effect. And I'm in a little studio. Oh, Malcolm's now showing me just model porn.
Centerfold too.
I really enjoyed doing it. But the only thing that I didn't enjoy was the fact that take it to a model show and it lost its pizzazz for me. And I'd love to be able to recreate it so that I could take it anywhere. And realistically, I should imagine all it is just a power source in which you can turn down the power depending on where you are or turn it up where needed.
Yep, make sure that it doesn't get too hot so don't set fire to it. Although if your explosion was on fire, that would be...
Well, it would certainly add to the movement when it starts smoking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, it really even smells like it's on fire.
Yeah. But the other time in which I've used LEDs was in my church diorama. That was just to light up the background of the church.
Didn't you win a prize for that as well?
I did win a prize for that, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Basically, what I did was I made a box diorama, effectively, put some LEDs in the back of it and put a picture that I found somewhere onto an acetate and put that acetate in front of the LEDs, which then gave the appearance of sunrise, basically.
Yeah.
Although it was a sunset picture, it was a sunrise.
Is there a difference then?
Yeah, allegedly there is, yeah. Sun's low in the ground, basically.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think. Does a sunset look different to a sunrise? Because the light's either going one way or the other. I don't think it would make a difference to how the colours are. No?
I don't know. I will stand in the garden tomorrow morning when the sun comes up. I will look at it, and then I'll wait until the sun goes down and see if it's any different.
Okay.
It'll be a different part of my house, because I'll be out the back for the up and out the front for the down. Anyway, I'd enclosed the light source into a box, and the light was only allowed to go through the windows, and that was it. The windows at the back that were slightly broken, but there were also some stained glass in there as well. Yeah. In my head, I've got the picture of the stained glass, the shard of light, if you like, coming through the window and resting on the paratrooper that was hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Since doing it, I have learned that the way I could have achieved that or created that illusion was actually painting the colours on him from the stained glass.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
That would have been enough to create the imaginary sunbeam.
Got you.
So, yeah, again, it's a static thing. It's a static light. It added a lot to the diorama.
Mm-hmm.
Like every part of model making is don't go too far, which is always really difficult.
Yeah.
To not add that extra detail. It's no different at the end of the day to add in your dust or your oil streaks or your chipping.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a point where it's just a little bit too much. Stop.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I remember one of my friends also, he'd put some lights on. He'd done the model, he'd finished it. You know, the lights were flashing and whatever they needed to do. But then he said,
"Promise me, Malcolm, you'll never let me do another model with lights in it again."
The process was terrible. You've got to add the electronics in, you got to drill holes. Stop biting my wire, you. Thank you. Sorry, I got a cat on. Cat here. You stop biting everything. Sorry.
Hungry?
No, he's just. No, he's not hungry. Well, actually, yes, he is hungry. Sorry. He's been fed, but he threw it all up and I forgot to feed him again.
Ah.
Nice.
Did you just put it all back in the bowl for him? Yeah, eat it when you're ready.
I couldn't even clean it up. I had to ask my wife to do it. It smelled the same coming out that it went in, but it's just smelled wrong. Bad enough going in.
Yeah, yeah.
It said it was duck on the packet, but I don't think that's ever seen a duck in its life. Duck flavour? Duck flavour? Where do you get duck flavour from? I can only assume a duck.
I would assume so.
Yeah. What was I saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's not me chewing your wire, no.
Yes. Sorry, there is a cat here who wants some attention. So he hated the whole process. It just ruined it for him. Two models later, you know, he's doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
And I did say to him, you told me you weren't going to do that. And he goes, oh, yes, but, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm enabling you in this charade.
I think the thing with it is you learn through the process, don't you? I mean, like I've said earlier, is that the thought of getting the four engines to run in your Lancaster or whatever, the putting the engines into the nacelles and running the wire through the wings, etc., I would assume, I'm not sure, but I would assume fairly easy.
Yeah, it's big.
Bringing the wire down the landing gear into the base where your power source is, which I've seen done incredibly well, is an art in itself, because realistically all you need is two contacts, and you've got your two wheels. So the logic is you make that contact through your wheels. And figuring out how to do that without ruining your expensive kit or whatever.
Yeah, through loads of holes in it now.
Scares the bejesus out of me. But it is something I want to do.
It's the same thing for motors, isn't it? You've really got to squeeze them in. But, oh, no, actually, motors are really small now.
Yeah.
You know, since for our phones and things like that, you got the vibrating motor on them. They're absolutely tiny. Maybe you can get a 1/44th spinning propeller. So what's your next project with lights then?
With lights.
And motors and moving parts and scrolling backgrounds.
Scrolling backgrounds.
On a 24-inch TV.
I'll have to buy a 24-inch TV first. I think my next journey in the electric trickery will either be the four engines in a Lancaster or maybe B17. That's something I'd like to try.
Yeah.
Lighting wise, I'd like to try and master the explosions in some form.
They use them a lot in wargaming.
Mm.
Those little candles that you can get that are tea light.
LED tea light, yeah.
Get one of them, spray paint it black, not the bulb, obviously, and then you'll put cotton wool on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paint the inside of the cotton wool yellow and the very outside of the cotton wool black, make it kind of bilious,
mm-hmm.
bilious, and switch it on, and then you've got an explosion to use on your wargaming. And of course they're flickering, and because it's passage of time and everything, they look good. Electronics, I guess, have their place.
I mean, another way, again, all down to kit choice, I guess. But another one in which I've seen is the 148th U-boat.
Oh, okay.
With the interior that's lit up.
Right. Yeah.
Now that's clever, because obviously there's a lot of detail in there. You take a lot of time putting it all together.
Mm, no, I agree. Yeah.
And it gives you the ability to see the detail.
That works for me. I like that.
My only concern with that is making sure your LED is the right scale.
Go on.
Because I've seen that as well, where people have put lighting into a model and it's just like, that doesn't look right.
Oh, the bulb, you mean? It's the wrong size.
The size of the bulb, which generally needs to be concealed in some way or hidden. You're using the light as a reflective light rather than a physical, I can see the bulb. I've also seen it, an LED put into a little lamp inside a bomber, like for where the, not the person that steers it, the person tells them where to steer it.
Navigator.
That's the one, in the navigator's light.
Navigator.
The navigator.
Nagging him. You got it wrong.
Well, he's a backseat driver, isn't he?
He literally is, yes.
Yeah, the navigator's light, and it just looks completely wrong. But talking about lighting.
Yes.
Another one that I've seen that's really, really cool is the Viper from Battlestar Galactica.
Have you finished yours yet?
No. Mm-hmm. And there is a reason I mention it.
Okay.
Is, it actually inspired me to try and redo it myself. The inside of the Viper cockpit, which is all PE, lights behind everything, which I am in the process of doing myself. So your comment about when's your next
mm-hmm.
going to happen? When I get that box from underneath the bench and pull it out and get my big boy pants on and give it a go. Because I've got the cockpit done, or thereas. I've got the lampage ready and able to put where I need to put it. I'm absolutely scared how I'm going to put all the wiring in there. And my biggest fear is that I'll put it all together, glue it all in and go, yeah, and then put the battery to it and it don't work.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't work, you just say it hasn't got any lights in it.
No, battery's flat. I just get a model of an AA van with some jump leads.
If there's no lights on it, it's not going to take away from the fact that you've got a nice model of a Viper there.
No, that's right.
It shouldn't take away from anything on the model.
No, it should only add. This is why when you build an elephant, you don't put sparkly lights around it.
Ah, segue. Are you putting sparkly lights around your elephant?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be appropriate. It's got to add something.
Absolutely. Cool. Brilliant. We've got some comments we need to read out. And also, this will be the first time we've not done a Musaru Cup update.
No, we haven't got a Musaru Cup update, but we've got a Walnut Group Build Challenge update.
Yes, we do. So starting on the 1st of May, James and I are running a Walnut Group Build Challenge. What have we called it? Walnut Challenge Group Build? Walnut? Yeah, go on Facebook, type those random four words in, and eventually you'll find it. There's a group build we're doing. It's free to enter. The idea is that we have walnuts and you put something in them and then you share what you've done and we all rejoice in how amazing we are about putting things in walnuts. Correct? Is that right?
Yes. That's correct. With two caveats, really, is that it has to be a real walnut. You can't 3D print it. You can use whatever medium you want to create wonder in your nuts.
Yes, great. And I bought a stand for my walnut made out of bloody walnut wood, isn't it? And it's got a felt bottom to it.
A walnut wood. So you've got, hang on. There's so many puns in this. You've got a wood on your walnut with felt.
Yeah, my nuts are going to be on wood. We'll have to work on that joke.
Yes.
Put some time into it. Yes, but it's a little square plinth. Love that word. Of walnut. I thought that would be perfect.
Like I said, there is a Facebook Pacific page for your group build, which you can join. Answer a couple of questions and just get involved. We have, as it stands, a few comments in relation to the walnut.
Do we?
We do. It's actually the Walnut Challenge group build is what we're looking for.
It's still the Walnut Group Build Challenge.
No, it's the Walnut Challenge group build. I knew that was the case. As it stands at the moment, that being the 26th of April as we record this, we have 31 members already preparing their nuts and talking about how many nuts you get for 10 grams.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It made me laugh. There is some topical ideas as well in there. But in our comments, we've got Victor Carlson, who's saying this is nuts. Mm-hmm. We've got Damien saying, what if I scratch build a little walnut grove inside my walnut?
That would be good.
That would be pretty ace. We got Ryan's Random Model Works saying, I'm in California. Walnuts are ordered and I have two different kit on its way. So preparations are being well and truly taken. And I've got to be honest, we did think, and there isn't a pun really involved in this, but we did think we were a bit nuts by having this challenge. Mm. We weren't sure how it would be perceived by people, but I must say there has been an awful lot of chatter about it throughout the social media.
Yeah.
And it's getting a real buzz. I'm really, really looking forward to starting doing it because we've got people that have got ideas coming out of their heads, like floods of ideas.
It was just going to be a thing between you and me, and then it's just gone bigger and bigger and bigger. It makes me a bit scared. But shares in walnuts has gone up, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Luckily, you've bought into that market quite early on.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Completely irrelevant. But yeah, if you're struggling to get hold of walnuts, some people are, chuck a message on Buy Me a Coffee. You have to donate, but it'll help, obviously, with the postage. I'll try and get some out to you, depending on your country's customs requirements. I just sent some to Northern Ireland, actually, and they bounced back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got them right here, right? There's a label on it, it's from the Royal Mail. It says, it was refused as the addressee is unknown.
Oh, no.
Which is odd, because that's their address. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. So those walnuts are well-travelled.
So, yeah, get involved. It's going to be fun. It goes on till September, I think.
Whatever date we said it was. Yeah, do a thing. Put stuff in a walnut, make it fun. Take some pictures and stick it on the album. I bet you're already thinking about, what kind of stuff in a walnut?
Oh, yeah, I've got so many ideas already. And each time I talk to someone about it, the ideas are swapped. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's cool. As long as the two halves can come together. So good luck, everybody. Looking forward to it.
Yay. Can't wait. Let's have a read of the comments as well that we had.
Okie dokie. I'll let you read the first one for the Easter eggs then.
Martin Drayton says, I actually do use Easter eggs. This is from the last episode. I put a poster in all my AFVs, whether they can be seen or not. E.g., a Tiger, the M113 and M4 E8 Sherman have pinups. However, my biggest one is yet to come. My magnum opus build is a 3-level diorama of the Hive from Resident Evil. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, a long-term project, you're kidding. There'll be 150 zombies, 30 Special Forces soldiers, 20 of the Umbrella Corporation security forces, plus the cast from the movie series, there will be some special guests lurking in the crowds. The Easter eggs of the people in the crowds will be Rambo, Michonne, Negan, Daryl, Rick, two versions of Ash from Evil Dead, John McClane, and Sergeant Nicholas Angel. Do you know where Sergeant Nicholas Angel's from?
I don't know.
Hot Fuzz.
Ah, of course, yes. Oh, fantastic.
Ain't caught those swans then. That's amazing. Yeah, that's going to be a great thing to see. We look forward to finding all those Easter eggs.
Yeah. Luke Carswell had made a comment on in relation to the Easter egg, saying that on his builds, he uses the numbers from his army days in his builds.
Did he put pictures in?
No, he didn't.
Well, thank you for commenting.
Yes, definitely. So the other comments we've had was our Airfix Sprue Talk visit.
Oh, yes. That was good.
There were a few comments in relation to us. One of them was, which made me chuckle so much, was from Luke Barker. And he said, "But you don't look like you sounded in my head." Yeah, I don't know what was in his head. There was a picture of Muppets at one stage that went up in a reply, but I don't really know what on earth our voices make us look like.
I don't know. That's worrying. Is that good a thing or a bad thing? Are our voices better than our faces, or our faces better than our voices?
I don't know, but I hope I'm a few pounds lighter. The other thing that made me chuckle as well, there was like a couple of comments aimed at our colleagues in the pod world. One from Brett saying, "Stuart Clark scooped."
Yes. Yeah.
And one from Ray Davis saying, he said, "It sounds to me like you have beaten Stuart and David to interview an Airfix."
Yeah, that's right. There's also Mark Basquette said, "Airfix goes with the home team. Sorry, on the bench and Scale Model Podcast. Looks like the race is over." What else?
That's how we can win the misery. If we don't know we're in the competition, we'll be fine because we'll win it.
Sloppy seconds, nothing wrong with that. What else has we got? The comments we've got here.
Harriet, she said, "You're right. Watching the video, it was just like listening to a JMC podcast."
Gotcha. Yep. Well, that's kind of what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Ted Pendergast says, "I have said it before, and I've got to say again, I love your sense of humour, your timing is excellent, and you never cease to make me laugh with every episode." Well, good. Thank you, Ted.
That's good.
Our timing is... good.
Sometimes.
Well, it's all in the edit, see? I can take that, and I can... make that funnier or not as funny. Whatever makes us laugh, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
If it makes us laugh, then it goes in.
It goes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the last comment we've got this episode is from Michael Thompson. "I nearly wet myself laughing at your debate about definition of petting in your latest episode." yeah. We're still waiting for someone to explain it better to us, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all the comments. Yeah, thank you guys and girls. Keep your comments coming in. We will read, but we may not read them out in the coming episodes due to life circumstances. We're going to try and be a little bit organized and get us a little bit of a schedule up.
Yeah, we're also going to be very busy, aren't we, in the coming weeks?
A lot coming up that we've got to do. So we want to make sure we don't miss our schedule. If you take the time to go over to Buy Me a Coffee, I am trying to increase the posts in there as well. Please, I ask you to try and increase the interaction in there as well.
So by adding electricity to your model or diorama, you can, in fact, just bring that next level of atmosphere or illusion to your work. It can also help enhance the story in which you want to bring to the viewer. But with moving parts, it can bring its own issues.
Some subject matters would, in fact, be static. But by adding flashing LEDs to your spaceship, for example, helps bring your fictional subject to life. But be careful and remember... like all elements of model making, there is a moment you need to stop adding to it and not go beyond its own limits.
Next time, we'll be just making conversation about insert topic here.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and take the care. Not the care. Take care.
Oh, dear.
Simple words. The words that we've all grown up with. But as soon as you hit the record button, it's your tongue falls out of the sky and jaw falls on the floor and your mouth dries up. But it's like you're talking about out of a fish's ass or something. Anyway, a big thank you to our supporters.
Julian, Chuck, Tim, Mark, Pakawi, Simon the Jersey Gent, Steve Lee, Costa, Mark Ray, Nigel? Nigel, if you're out there, thank you, but you're not. Neil, Neil, Mike, Robert, Andrew, Drew, John, Mike, Jeff, Richard, Lynn, Gordon, and five others.
Who took the time to buy me a coffee. If you would like to grind some beans for us, come join us on buymeacoffee.com/JMC podcast. If you do show your support, why not leave a message with your name so we can give you a shout out.
You've been listening to Just Baking Conversation with James Skiffins
and Malcolm Childs. Follow us on Facebook, where we post photos, updates, and other nonsense.
Let us know what you are just making and what your thoughts are on the conversation on this episode.
We have to thank our supporters, who we dearly appreciate.
Please support us on
buymeacoffee.com. We did have another comment come in, Facebook message, from Paul Pendleton Brown.
Ooh.
He says, excellent episode as ever, guys. Had an excellent merch product idea you can sell on the back of your new group build. With 6 kilograms of walnuts, why not produce your own artisan milk to go with your Buy Me a Coffee? Yeah? But I suppose marketing the product as Malcolm's Nut Juice probably isn't such a good idea. Now I'm writing it down. As you were, he says. Keep up the good work.
Malcolm's Nut Juice. Mm.
A very limited audience on that one.